Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Gallant Few Rangers podcast. My name is Mason Stewart and I'll be your host this evening. As always, we have a lot to get through following Sunday's disappointing result, press conference today, and a lot of talk about Ross Wilson. So starting us off, ABT from Europe, how are you, mate?
Still pissed off. I was going to change my name there to David, still pissed off Tomlinson. Just still haven't got over it fully, unfortunately. And actually, the press conference made me a wee bit worse today with John Lundstrom saying we'll need to try and make up for it on Saturday against Kilmarnock. And I thought, beating Kilmarnock's not going to make up for that performance, John. Sorry, you'll need to do a lot more than beat Kilmarnock to make up for that result. So that sort of pissed me off a bit more even today.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to your John Lundstrom rant that's going to be coming. I can feel it. There was a lot of comments Sunday night. They'll be waiting for it. So that's going to be coming soon. But also tonight with us, Chris. How are you, Chris?
I'm good, thank you, mate. I'm going to go the opposite way. I'm taking a positive look on it. It's done and dusted now. It's in the history books. We go look forward. We always go forward.
Yeah, I think we need a little bit of that positivity because it has been very negative. But also making their Gallant Few debut tonight. Andrew, how are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. Cheers for having me on. Well, Davey's been a bit, he's feeling the negative side. Chris is feeling the positive side. I'm going to sit in the fence. I think it's up to the players now. The crowd do what they do. You know, it's up to the players to really pay them back. Their performance, well, I'm sure they'll be just as angry. Well, I'd hope they'd be just as angry as the fans were. But, you know, 15 games or so to go, I'm sure they'll come good in the end.
Yeah, it'd be interesting one. John Lundstrom said that no one's hurting as much as the Rangers players at the minute. I think I tend to disagree with that one, John Lundstrom. But we'll come to that in a little while. But Davey, obviously you boys weren't on, so we'll get your thoughts, you know, go through Sunday in a little bit because you weren't on the live show. But what was the sort of feeling at full-time Sunday, Davey? I know, look, it's cup final. You know, there's always got to be a winner and loser, but the manner of defeat for me just gets worse as the days go on.
Yeah, well, it was a sort of a funny game, really, because you start with hope, expectancy, really. I would even say expecting them to come out fighting because you think, well, there's not going to get a lot more chances of winning trophies, so they'll come out fighting. And after the Ibrox game, gave us a lot of positivity as well. But it was like that was maybe a red herring. And, yeah, then the game sort of went to total downer. And then in the second half, you get brought up a wee bit again after the Rangers' goal. And as soon as the substitution of Morelos, you just seen... You just knew it was away. You could just see the first couple of minutes after that, there was absolutely nothing left in the tank. And yeah, then it was just total down again. And so it was a sort of a curve of up and down and up and down, although I'm afraid the downs went far deeper than the ups.
Yeah, no, definitely. As I said, the whole performance, as you say, it was just really, really, you know, disappointing. And yeah, the only up was the goal, but you know, as you said, the substitution soon after killed that. Chris, what was your thought overall?
Can I just add a wee bit to that? I learned something. Everybody's been telling me, and I'm not in the let's get rid of Beale camp. I'm not in that camp. I think the guy, he made a mistake. Let him go on with it, do his job. But see, he's had all that time. He's been listening to Rangers supporters. He's been reading Rangers websites. He must have known that Lundstrom and Kamara don't go that well, that good together. And now to come out and say, well, I learned something, he should have known that long before the final.
Yeah. Sorry. No, not all good. Chris, just coming back to that his decision to go with Lundstrom and Kamara on Sunday, what was your thoughts on that sort of, when you see the team? Was it a surprise that there was no Raskin?
Yes, mate, very. I could tell by the first 5 minutes of watching that game, Lundstrom wasn't fit. He pulled out a 50-50, and his mannerisms, the way he was setting up, he just didn't look fit at all. Now, what worries me is he's past training, and the manager's seen that and said he is fit. Do you know what I mean? I get he'll ask him if he's fit, and he's wanting to play a big cup final, so he says yes, but surely it was monitored as well. But talking about the overall performance, I'm quite superstitious with stuff. I can normally tell straight away in an Old Firm game if Rangers are up for it or not. We couldn't get the ball off them the first couple of minutes. We were standing back, which was very disappointing and very alarming. And it became apparent very quickly Lundstrom should not have been on that park. There was nothing on Lundstrom. If I was a footballer, if I was 50-50, would I want to play in a cup final? Of course I would. But the team selection let us down, and for the manager not to take ownership of that and his interview after the game was disappointing as well. But he'll learn. I think we didn't create nearly enough chances. The one time we did play the ball over the top and let Sakala run at Taylor, he skins him inside out and creates a chance. Then we don't go with that again. Do you know what I mean? We were fair beaten, right? We can't sugarcoat it. We didn't deserve to win. But the fight wasn't there. And the belief as well. I think we looked very nervous at times. Going back to the being scared of Celtic, giving them too much respect. It's just, there's a list of stuff that you think to yourself, we kind of came over it a wee bit, especially the second half at Ibrox, when we took the game to Celtic, you know, when we had that bit of belief, you were hoping more of that, and it just wasn't there on Sunday. Even when we scored the goal, and then Morelos got the goal back, you thought, right, we've got them. We didn't get anything on it. I thought we would have pushed from it as well, and it took to Campbell coming on. He put Starfelt under a bit of pressure in the second half. The Starfelt started flapping, which he does in big games. Shame my heart. Now, you watch it in the contrast to the other side. We see when McGregor got the ball, one of them was sprinting at him every single time. They know McGregor's not too comfortable on the ball. We should have been doing that with Starfelt and Hart, and I felt we didn't. And Campbell, to be fair to him, did when he came on. Another thing as well, it might sound petty, but the hunger. I mean, the ball was going at the park. The Celtic players were hunting for it. They were in the ball boys' faces. They were harassing them, give us the ball back. Now, there was times where we were getting throw-ins, corners, and our players were jogging towards it. Do you know what I mean? Especially when we were 2-1 down and time's not in your hands, because you know how quickly that clock goes when we're chasing a game. And you don't see it. You don't see people in each other's faces, give us the ball, kind of that. Just stuff like that, mate. I would just think to myself, it was very disappointing, but we'll live and learn.
No, I think you're spot on. Andrew, bring you in on this one. Bill, I said Sunday Live that was on Bill. You know, his team selection was all wrong, and we can say that. But the players that were out there let him down big time. And Chris is absolutely spot on to point out things like that. That the intensity of, you know, never mind a cup final, but an Old Firm game was miles off.
Yeah. I mean, I was looking at I was looking at my phone, as everyone was, and at 2 o'clock, you're looking at the team sheet, you're going, right, who are we going to get in the day? What difference are we going to see from the last Old Firm? And surprisingly, there was nothing. It was a true to call the same kind of team. You know, you're set out defensively. I think we set up to not concede. We set up to not concede instead of setting up to go at them. I think I can understand it because Celtic start good. You know, they give a lot in the first 10, 25 minutes. But it's not going to work. You can't sit and defend. You need to go at them. You need to go at them to counteract, like, to counter them. The players, yep, I said at the time, I think Beale got it wrong. I don't understand how he can say in these press conferences during the transfer window, we're only going to bring guys that are going to improve the team, and then the guys he brings in don't get in the team. I think even for a fan's perspective, Raskin and Cantwell have been something we haven't seen since Gerrard came in. You maybe had you. I think that was the last time I've seen someone come in that's something new, something different. And I was disappointed to not see Cantwell and Raskin starting, or at least Raskin. I thought Raskin's been superb. He's been a question mark for other teams to deal with, and he's going to be the future. I mean, I think for the amount of money we spent on him, he'll be a major profit. But the thing is, you can't be a profit if you're not going to play him. I understand maybe the environment, a cup final, especially against Celtic. I mean, we've seen it last season, even like Amad Diallo in his Old Firm debut at Celtic Park, he looked scared. He honestly looked like a lost boy out in the park. So I can understand Raskin or Cantwell, maybe that I won't play him for the environment, but you need to make their debut somehow. You know, they're professional lads, you need to back them to do their job. But yeah, we get found out in that 45, and it just as it looked like we were going to get back in it, you know, even from his first game against Hibs, Michael Beale, his debut, we were 2-2 against Hibs, but we had the feeling, you know, we were going to get there because we were doing well in the park. It was something that, you know, with Van Bronckhorst, the horseshoe football, they just hold the ball. With Beale, it looked, when we're on our game and we're looking to go and attack, it's possession with an intent. But it's just taking too long. And by the time we conceded the second goal, it was too late. You could have subbed on Messi and it wouldn't have helped.
It certainly felt like that with a performance, definitely. But David, to bring you on this, Bill's, you know, on Sunday and today's, he's coming away from the fact that it was his starting lineup. He's not really taking responsibility of that. Obviously, he has said, look, it's all of us collectively, but he won't say it was his starting lineup. He keeps going back to, look, these were the two best performances that we had at Tyne Castle. And he keeps saying the game at Ibrox against Celtic. I don't think we were great in that game either, to be honest. I thought we had a 35-minute spell where we did get at them a few times, but I don't think we were great. And I don't actually think we deserved to win the game that day. But what was your thoughts on him sort of backing down and coming away from his team selection?
Well, it goes back to, these guys are professional footballers. I mean, you're going in, they're making their money, they're making more money than I'll probably ever earn. I mean, I could add up 4 or 5 people and this just won't earn as much as a professional footballer. These guys get paid big bucks to work hard, improve their game, and go out and get points for the team, or in that game lift a cup. Silverware is massive, especially for a Rangers football club, and a cup that we haven't won and since before we went down to the bottom league. That was a real chance to, although we might not win the league this season, it was something we could be positive about, something that you could sell on to players. Like, we might have lost the league, but we had a situation where the new manager came in and he left his silverware. But it's a chance lost, 100% was a chance lost, because that game was there to be taken, because Celtic didn't have a good game. They did the bare minimum and they got by with it. I was spot on. Joe Hart had a poor game. Starfelt, as always, looks scared in the ball. He doesn't look always comfortable. But again, we didn't take our chance to go at them, and they got one. They lifted the cup, and it can only be looked at as a disappointment. There can't be any positives, really. You just need to move on. Chalk it up as learning. But the question is, do we learn?
Well, Davey T, do we learn? That is the big question. I think tonight's going to be a lot of talking about a potential rebuild. We'll come on to Ross Wilson in detail in a minute, but will these players be, you know, obviously they've got a chance to go and win the Scottish Cup, which is sort of our main aim at the minute. But the bigger question is how many of them will be here next season and how many come in next season? Michael Beale said today, I thought in his press conference, 3 or 4. Now, I hope it's more than 3 or 4 because there's going to be a lot more than 3 or 4 going out the door. So what was your thoughts on that?
OK, can I just go a wee bit off and give my first Lundstrom? He's sitting at that presser today and he was asked what's it going to be going forward, what's the positives going forward, and he mentioned taking Celtic as close as we can get to them, and then he went on to and getting to a Scottish Cup final, and he stopped at that. He went on to talk about different else, and then he was asked again about the same question, and he came back to it, and he said, and getting to a Scottish Cup final, and then he stopped again, and he says, oh, and winning it. And that's just the sort of a mentality that I don't know, that seems to be going through the Rangers team at the moment, that we're frightened of these guys before we even go into the park. And if our top senior players are like that, then it's obviously going to get passed on to the lesser players. Going back to your own question, we need a total clear out. Well, not a total clear out, but I've said before, the whole midfield needs to go. Not the new ones, of course, but Lundstrom needs to go. Kamara needs to go. Jack needs to go. Jack, more fitness. Jack on his game is a great player, but he's just never, he's always injured. So, I'm sure we're not going to waste another lot of wages, although I heard he's in 60% of his wages, but 60% of his wages is still quite a lot of money. So, I wouldn't keep Jack either. And I know people are going to be saying, ah, but where's this money coming from? But the thing is, if we're not going to get up and fight with Celtic and get into European football, we're not going to have any money, never. And that's the thing. We've got to get up. We've got to take a chance somewhere. And we've got to get up, get into European football and do something in European football. Otherwise, we're going to end up as probably a second-rate team in Scotland.
Yeah, but it's a big, big summer for us. Chris, let's bring you in on that. There's a lot to touch on that there, but I'll bring you in on the John Lundstrom debate. He's in for a lot of criticism, and rightly so, by the way, because I've defended him at times, and probably when I think back now, I think he's got away with certain performances, and other times he weren't at it. Now, I know you said earlier he wasn't fit, he didn't look fit, nor did Tillman, but this is where you need to put yourself before the football club, and you need to say, you know, I'm not 100%, because them two midfielders on Sunday played right into Celtic's hands. And Glenn Kamara is another one. What was your thoughts on the whole midfield, but John Lundstrom as well?
You see, as I pointed, right, he pulled out. I pulled out a 50-50 straight away. Now, see, if you're an opposition player and you watch somebody pull out a 50-50, you think, a fucking dancer. I'm going to go forward a wee bit more because this guy's not at his game. It lets them be adventurous. See, by letting them do that, their creativity goes on through the roof. Do you know what I mean? That it's why you just can't show a sign of weakness, do you know what I mean? Whereas some various examples, if you get a player that's limping, you're going to put somebody on him straight away. Do you know what I mean? Because you know he's going to be vulnerable and he's going to lose the ball. I felt they seen it straight, and that's what their midfield went, do you know what? Their tails were wagging. Do you know what I mean? They smelled blood. The thing about what you're talking about, will we learn? Now, the thing that puts me off with that is, see the two goals we conceded on Sunday? We've conceded that all season. And Celtic scored it all season. Now, you watch Kyle Go's goals for Celtic, right? The vast majority of them are in the position he was in Sunday, right? And to be fair to the boy, he's always there, right? But surely we know that's our weak spot. Now, Livingston had a chance like that on the Saturday before. Stephen Kelly, the exact same opportunity, and he put it over the bar. Yet we're still conceding that chance game after game. Now, the whole debate as well, it's going to come into it as well. Tavernier, could he have done better, right? You know, he's always a whipping boy, and no matter, even if Joe Hart scored a punt and it went directly into McGregor, Tavernier would get brought into it somehow, right? Then you've got Barisic, where last season we were conceding the exact same goal against Celtic, Jota and the Bader scored it at the back post. They came in, ball across the front. We were talking about rebuilding. It's not just the midfield. I feel Barisic's time's up. He's been a great servant, but he's just too times. He's just inconsistent just now. Doesn't turn up at big games. Tavernier is not up for debate. He's a captain. He'll be there regardless of what next season. The strikers, Morelos, for me, he's been here for too long. It's best for both of us. He goes, and we sign somebody else. And Roof, we all know how great a striker he is, but we can't rely on him. Do you know what I mean? He scored two goals this season from the bench. We're in March now. Do you know what I mean? So we've got a big, big transfer window coming up. But then the only player I can see is selling for decent money is Kamara. He's the only one there seems to be talk about money coming in for. Now, see, you see 10 million, right? Some people might think that's a wee bit over the top. Some people might think it's under, right? But say we do get wind about that, we can't build to a full rebuild on that. Do you know what I mean?
This is the problem, Chris. We haven't got many sellable assets at the minute. That's a worry for me. But the type of rebuild that needs to happen in the summer, looking at the squad going, right, who can we sort of trade in to go? Listen, Glenn Kamara, at the minute, his performances this season, we're lucky if we get 3 million. No, I don't see anyone coming in paying over that, to be honest. Andrew, let's bring you in on that, because Ross Wilson, we're going to come to. I've seen a few comments with Ross Wilson. There's a bigger talking point in that, which we'll come to in a minute. But just on the midfield at the minute, what changes would you like to see in that midfield come the summer?
That's a question. It's on Mr. Wilson to answer. Personally, I mean, I'm the same with basically what was being said. I like Ryan Jack, but injuries. Stephen Davis is my idol growing up, but time's got him. Father time, it gets everyone. Glenn Kamara, I mean, I can't remember how many games he's played this season, but under Van Bronckhorst, I was closer to getting in that team than him. That's the biggest area that we need to fix. I think in that game, that was the midfield, was the cement, the protection for the back line, which we know has been caught by Celtic. You know, we mentioned the Barisic goal going across, Abad at the back post. This season it's Kyogo going through the mid, catching the ball, penalty spot to the 6-yard box, centre of the box. I think, especially Lundstrom, I've liked John Lundstrom since the start. I was one of the few, especially when he got sent off early in his Rangers career. One of my friends down south, he's a Sheffield United fan, he told me what we were getting. I thought, it seems like a decent player, a free transfer. I know there was a lot of scepticism that if he was that good, we wouldn't be getting him from the Prem for free. But it seemed like there was a contract issue, and that was the only reason he left the club. And he came good. I mean, we've seen Leipzig, the guy looked like he could be 50 million. He looked like somebody would slot into a Premier League team. This season, he does look vastly unfit, maybe carrying an extra pound. Yeah, I think everybody knows that these professional players, they say they're playing with a knock. They're never going to be fully fit. They're professional guys, they do this for a living. I go to 5-a-side and I get injured every time I go in the field. They do this for a living. Of course, they're going to be carrying something, but it's playing through it. You're asking about the heart. How much you got? How much can you give? I think Leinster maybe gave all he had last season, and I don't think we're going to see anything as close to that level of effort and performance as we've seen last season. I think where we're going, I mean, as you said, Kamara, I think is the only sellable asset there. I think he's only one of the few that's south of 26. I think he might be 26, 27, actually. I think Lundstrom's getting up there. He's hitting that kind of, going towards 30, Jacks over 30, Davis is well over 30, Arfield's over 30. Cantwell or Raskin, you need to build. That needs to be the midfield. I don't know if you're going to keep Cantwell in the midfield. You might stick him out wide. We'll see. Kinda, he has been playing centrally. We know he can play wide, but he does look to be sitting central. Hadji, I think, I've been missing Giannis Hagi whilst he's been out with that knee injury. I mean, going back even last season, he wasn't always getting in the team. Bronby, he was these nice wee finish, these wee flicks round the corner. He's the kind of guy that can unlock a defence. And I think given the low block that we always seem to face, well, everybody plays against us 11 behind the ball. He's the type of player that with a Cantwell and with Raskin can help unlock those defences. I think that's we need to build around those boys. And if that's going to bring in a Lowry, I think I like to look to the youth, the team. I like McCann, he's gone, fortunately. Lowry, I think, can be in that group of players that can unlock the SPFL teams, whether they can produce that in Europe, which we'll need to do to financially push us forward to catch up to Celtic. We'll need to see. I think Cantwell and Raskin are the main two, and then it's just who they can get in there as a third in the middle. I think this summer coming up is massive. There's no understating that. And especially since the fact that we've seen the team across the city in this similar situation, and they acted fast. They spent money. That's the difference. Will our board spend money? I don't know. Do we have the money to spend? Well, I'd hope so. But especially with financial fair play, we seem to be on the watch list for some of these things. We need to be careful.
Yeah, it's so many questions already. And I said we have such a, you know, so many games left. These questions are coming out earlier, and rightly so. Davey T, let's bring you on that. Then we've all touched on the midfield, and Chris a minute ago just touched on the fullbacks. A huge problem for us, and have been all season. James Tavernier's been protected, you know, by that big you know number of the supports, and he's not fully fit. I just think he's bang out of form, and I actually don't know if he will get back to the heights that he hit last season. I think the best of Tavernier maybe passed him. Absolutely agree with Chris on Borna Barisic. He should have been sold in the summer. We've seen him make that mistake too many times in the big games. Unfortunately, our left back, you know, we signed in the summer, has been injured the best part of the season, and you know, not a lot we can do there. But I'd rather a youth player in front of Borna Barisic. What's your thoughts on the fullback? Because people are saying Tavernier should go as well in the summer. We should completely refresh it. The problem we just had another comment in the sand that Cholak might go as well. We're going to need some players for next season. We're not going to go and sign 18 and 19 new players. We need to be realistic. But just staying with the fullbacks, what was your thoughts on them? Because they're both obviously getting over 30 now, and we don't see him bombing on as much as we did when Gerard was here. I think you know, it shows their age is telling as well.
Well, Barisic, as you say, makes the same mistakes virtually every game, virtually every Celtic game. He's always down the channel, that ball down inside him. He falls into that every time. It's okay. Let's face it, every fan was saying Barisic has been far better since he came back from the World Cup. But the fact is, when you're beating the small teams, it's okay. But see, when you don't turn up against Celtic, when you're a Rangers supporter or player, not turning up against Celtic is the worst thing you can do in the world. That's the games you've got to turn up for. And he just doesn't turn up for them. And he gets taken inside out. I mean, that's the third game in a row, fourth game in a row, he's been taken inside out. I'm getting back to Lundstrom. It shocked me the amount of stick he's been getting during the week, because not so long ago I was a lone voice in the booming shouting that Lundstrom's not what he was, and now all of a sudden it's agreeing with me. Nearly the whole FF is all agreeing with me and saying the same things that I was saying about 8 months ago. So that's really shocked me. But I don't understand why it's taking people so long to see that. Barisic, Tav, yeah, maybe we are leaning on what Tav's done and what he can still do. That might be two different things. The thing with Tav is his goal scoring record. That is second to none. I don't think there's any fullback probably in the world ever scored the amount of goals from right back that he's scored. And I haven't got that. That's just my own thinking. It's not a statistic. Is Devine the person to change with him? Well, I think now to the end of the season is, I suppose you're going to see now how much Beale thinks of the 9 points, whether he still thinks we'll get a chance of chasing them. If he still thinks that, then he'll stick with Tavernier. If he thinks I'll need to sort out what I'm going to be doing next season, which he sort of hinted at, then he'll need to bring in Devine and see what he can do, see if he is ready to step up and take Tavernier's place. And for me, the perfect thing for the centre forward would be to give Morelos a new contract, keep him one season and get rid of him. Then when he's worth something, I know a lot of people will disagree with that. I see you sticking up your nose, Mason. But I think it's horrible to see him walking away for nothing. And I think he's one of the players that could be could bring us in money after a season, or even sell him in January. But I think we should try and get him, give him a contract and offer him. But I wouldn't give him more than he's earning now. And whether he would accept that, I doubt it. So I think he'll be one to go. But as you say, we can't bring in 19, 20 players. That's just crazy.
Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying about Morelos, but he's just Ryan Jack's the same. They've just been here too long now. Glenn Kamara, Barisic, Tavernier, you could throw in there as well. Just it needs a refresh. We can't keep relying on the same players that keep these big games and not winning them for us. We need to go for the total refresh. And look,
before we move on, can I just make one point? See your front three of Morelos, Sakala, and Kent. The finishing is absolutely terrible, the three of them. And I love Alfie, I love Kent, and I can have Sakala, hot and cold. He's a lovable guy, but see the freedom, the finishing is terrible. You've seen Kent on Saturday, Sunday, beat a man, comes to the shot, blends it out of the bar. He was unlucky with the one that hit the post, but again, it's not on target. Morelos, some of his shooting is ridiculous, and Sakala with that easy chance. Do you know what I mean? That's where we're going wrong as well. Our front three finishing is terrible.
The numbers, Chris, you're absolutely spot on. The numbers are shocking. And yeah, I don't even want to go through that Sakala miss again because
The three of them are capable of scoring wonderful goals, right? We've seen it from the three of them, but also in a consistent level, the finishing is diabolical. And as you said, the Sakala miss. At the time, I gave him the benefit of the doubt. So when I watched it back, and especially when you see the photo,
it's worse. It gets worse, doesn't it?
I had it near the goal, the ball's going in the net, whether it's Sakala scoring an own goal or Morelos tapping in behind him.
Chris, staying with you, though, let's move on to Ross Wilson, and I'll come to you all on this, because should he be here in the summer for a summer rebuild? I had a look today at the players we signed in last January, right? We were top of the league at the time by 6 points. Just before that Ross County game where we dropped points and then they overtook. The signings last January when we were on top is one of the main reasons we are where we are right now. But what is your thoughts on Wilson being here for that summer rebuild, which is so important, I think, not just for next season, but for the next 2 or 3 years?
Look how the last season ended, right? We ended by having to rely on Roof, who we can't rely on, right? Morelos got injured. So we went to a Europa League semi-final, home and away, a Europa League final, a Scottish Cup final, and then run in for the league without a fit striker. Why in January was that not addressed, that the striking problem is an issue? Now, we were lucky before Morelos got his injury where he hadn't been injured, but surely we knew it was going to come one day, it was going to happen, right? We roof in and out. Now, the games I've just mentioned are massive, right? We were on the brink of history of winning the club's second European trophy, but we had to do it without a striker. Now, why has Ross Wilson looked at the squad, looked at what's available in that January transfer window and not even attempted to buy a striker? Do you know what I mean? We weren't linked with any. There wasn't any bids made for strikers. Now, I get... Obviously, now going forward, it might be different, but that to me was alarm bells. Then when you seen him at the AGM and And it was kind of, it was as if he was shocked by the abuse, as if he thought he'd done well. And he was living off, we got into the Champions League and stuff like that, right? Which was great. But you need to remember that just getting into the Champions League alone is not good enough for our club. Do you know what I mean? We can't live off that. Well, the Europa League run was great, right? But it could have been a lot better. It could have ended in glory. It didn't. It, with Wilson as well, his signings have not been great. Do you know what I mean? Hadji was something, Andrew put a good point when we signed Hadji, it was something different, it's something that got you. Do you know what I mean? And I hope Raskin and Cantwell become the same. Really like the look of Raskin, but you look at the dross we've signed now, the pointless signings we've made as well, Sands has turned out to be pointless. The boy from Poland that we signed at right back, played a game, we beefed him up, never seen him again. Do you know what I mean? We well went into last season was a season too far for McGregor. This season, beyond that, we weren't even talking about a goalkeeper. Do you know what I mean? McLaughlin was never good enough to be number one. And it's hindered us this season. The key points are getting missed. The key areas are getting missed. Do you know what I mean? We're just going to end up, it'll probably be a summer where we sign midfielders again. We'll sign another defender who's a crock. And a winger who's just a total miss.
That's the problem, Chris. It's the scattergun signings under Wilson. Andrew, I'll bring you in on this. What's your thoughts on Ross Wilson leading a rebuild this summer? For me, he's got to go in the next few weeks. He should not be there for the summer to do this.
I have to agree with you. Actually, I did some investigative journalism and I looked back. Ross Wilson and his LinkedIn has got his positions, and I've looked back. I went through Southampton signings since he took the reins there. I've looked at Rangers signings since he took the charge. One I'd like to point out straight away is you mentioned the Polish right back Zakowski. We spent over £500,000 on him, for one game, and we've let him go on a free. Remember Jake Hasty? We signed him for 300K. He's gone on a free. You know, Cedric Gittin was 3 million that we spent. We've made a loss there. Are we going to make a profit and Kemar Roofe? No, that was 5 million. You compare that, and the one that I'm worried about more than anything now is only realised today. One I've seen linked with a goalkeeper solution for next season is Angus Gunn from the Championship. He's at Norwich now. Ross Wilson signed him from City to Southampton for over £11 million. And they get rid of him for 5 million. I'm scared of what we're going to bring in. He's been hit or, he was so hit or miss with Southampton. But I looked at it, you've got, even for Højbjerg, who he signed at Southampton, they only sold for 16 million. That's £1 million profit for a guy who's a star for Spurs. It's worrying how the only, I looked at the players and the only one that seems to be sticking around that's relatively okay is Stuart Armstrong, remarkably. For 8 million, he looks like the only player that's still on that team. He's signing guys for 22 million. He left in a free to go back to Argentina. I'm scared. I think the only way he can survive, and I've just seen it, they're living off Sadio Mane. I looked at every year, every transfer window, he was there at Southampton. They only made a profit in one window, and it was when Van Dijk got sold. They made something like an 80 million or a 90 million pound profit, and they sold him and they spent 60 million and they had a £30 million profit that year and they didn't have a positive turnover in any other window. He scares me. He's had, yep, Hadji, I'll give him that. But you look at Sands, loan, Diallo, loan. Didn't even mention Aaron Ramsey on loan. That is scary. I'm worried. I don't think he's the man at all till he does.
He's going to live off Bassey.
He's like, that's what I'm saying. For Rangers, he is living off of Bassey, the same way he lived off of Van Dijk.
Let's be perfectly honest, we flipped that.
Aye. That's a signing of a century, a free, and we've turned that into 20 plus million.
And by the way, there was times when you said to yourself, I never want to see that boy in the Rangers jersey again.
He did. It was
Ross County away.
Yes. Yeah, look, listen, we would. He's going to live off that, and he's going to live off selling Patterson as well for the money and Aribo, but... What have we won since then? Two trophies, that's it. And that, for me, is the main thing. And with Ross Wilson, all he keeps talking about is, and he will, and he has done at the AGM, look what we sold Bassey for, look what we got for Patterson. But what have we won? What of your signings have contributed to Rangers winning and not enough? Davey T, just last thing on Ross Wilson. What's your thoughts on him? You know, as I've asked the other boys leading this summer rebuild. I found it interesting today, Bill in his press conference said that I'll give the club players I want to sign for summer, and the club have give me players that they recommend. David Hurst makes a fantastic point there in the comments. Do we need Ross Wilson? Why can't Bill be the man that goes and picks the players for his team? Why do we need Wilson at all?
Well, I've always thought that. But why there needs to be a link there? For me, the manager and the team and a scouting team, you could call it maybe the head of a scouting team. But during the week, I was watching Heerenveen against Feyenoord in the Dutch Cup. And Heerenveen, again, have picked up a young player from Norway. And they've picked up so many Scandinavian players that go on to be top players. Absolutely brilliant. They get a fortune for them. That young boy, I can give you his name, but I've written it down. So, Osami Sahu, Sahuru Awa, or so, something like that. I was going to say I'll give you his name, but I can't even say it. But and it's a young player. And he absolutely danced through that Feyenoord game. They lost 1-0, but he was absolutely brilliant. All the Dutch pundits are talking about him. And it's not just that one player, but not here in vain of so many players from Scandinavia. There's a market there that we're not bringing in anybody from. And how often here in vain have done it, I don't know. But Ross Wills, I'm going to disappoint you all. Because Ross Wilson's going to be there next season, and he's going to be doing the running about. Not because I want it, because I don't want it, but the board are not going to sack him. And as you say, he's living off the Bassey money. And I think he's even a director now, so they would need to be sacking one of their own directors, mm-hmm. So which puts it in a really difficult position. So I'm to disappoint everybody. I think he'll be there. I plead that he's not there. Unfortunately, and really, the facts and figures that Andy's dug up, well done for that. Really, really quite shocking, really, aren't they?
Yeah, I think it is really telling when players, as well as coaches, staff, leave a football club and what kind of reaction they get. And Southampton fans were jumping for joy when he left. And alarm bells at that point, you know, they always ring. I know you shouldn't always look into it too much, but I think it does give a good sort of indicator. Chris... Well, James Sands left the football club yesterday to go back to America. I'm not surprised by this one at all. I'll be honest, I was very critical of James Sands since he arrived and I first see him at the Toddry. When I kept talking about the quality we need and I see James Sands, I just look at it one way. So am I being a bit harsh? Did you see a player in Sands or did you think this was inevitable?
No, it was inevitable, mate. It was another pointless signing on the cheap. It was a signing for the sake of bringing a body in. Do you know what I mean? And a lot of people say it was hard on him because he didn't play in his natural position. But he came here with centre-back experience, right? We had, obviously, the unfortunates at the start of the season where Hollander, Goldson, Davies, Suter were all injured at the same point. But Sands started off in midfield a couple of games when he first signed in at the Petrology and stuff like that. I know you're not going to blame him in their debut, but you'd seen him that night, you weren't filled with confidence, do you know what I mean? I think it was a lazy appointment as well, and I don't doubt that Sands might be a football player there, but he's nowhere near the level that we need. The level we need to be competing for titles, get a bit further in Europe. Sands is just... And I'll give credit to him. He played a good part in the winning Eindhoven. He had a solid performance that night. Nothing outstanding, nothing to say, wait a minute here, there's a great player in him. But he played his part that night, which got us into the Champions League. But it was just another fire under the Polish boy. I know he played more than him, but you can fire under just a signing for the sake of it.
Yeah.
I think the fact that... he's been under two managers now. and none of them have played him, and he's the position that he was really brought in for midfield. Everybody kept saying, yeah, but he's not a centre-half, he's a midfield player. He was hardly ever played in the midfield. I think he got a handful of games in the midfield, and that's about it.
No, I think there's a reason for that as well. Again, I've seen that a lot in the last sort of 28, 48 hours by supporters saying he never got a chance in his proper position. There's a reason why he didn't. And by the way, our midfield was our weakest area. He didn't play a lot because he wasn't good enough. Andrew, what's your thoughts on James Sands?
I like James Sands. I like the sign. I thought at that time, I think he's been here for quite a while now. I thought if we're looking for the future, trying to build on the back of winning the league, I thought, yeah, he could be someone we could develop, the kind of buy low, sell high strategy. But the worrying fact was it was $6 million would have been to have made it a permanent move. Now, $6 million is a lot of money. We signed Ryan Kent for $7 million. $6 million for a young guy coming out of the MLS. Don't get me wrong, I think the standard of football in America is getting better than it maybe was. We've seen how the US did in the World Cup. But for me, it would have had to take something spectacular for us to spend $6 million. I thought centre-back, he was quite scared at some time. It was a hit or miss. Ironically, I thought he played his best in the Champions League qualifier. I thought he looked as confident as he ever did against PSV, whereas it was the Scottish teams where he looked out of his comfort zone. We'll see where it goes. He's still a young lad. He'll go back to New York. I think he's a New York native, so he'll go back to his hometown team, see how he does. I wish him all the best. I did my research into this one as well. He's going back to NYCFC, and they've just brought in a coach out of their City group. He was the Man City ladies coach. So we'll see if he can maybe implement a Pep style with a CDM, which is what James Sands will probably like to play, that kind of defensive midfield. Just see how it goes. I mean, it wasn't going to work. I think maybe the right player, the right team, but the wrong time. I think the way things panned out, you're going to struggle to develop a player correctly when there's a lot of negativity going on because the results simply weren't going our way. And when the results don't go your way, well, you know, we all know what happens. Criticism, and that's not a good way to develop your career.
No, look, Rangers can be a tough place for any player, but some players just grow into it, and I don't think James Sands has that in his makeup. He might go and have a good career, by the way, but it's not going to be a club with the pressure that comes with us. I just don't think that's in his makeup. But listen, what do I know, eh? Baby T, let's move it on to Saturday then. Kilmarnock at Ibrox. Kilmarnock sitting bottom of the league at the moment. I hate the talk, and you pointed out earlier by John Lundstrom saying we need to give the fans a good performance against Kilmarnock. I've heard that line too many times after big defeats and then whatever game we follow. But the question, I'm going to come to you all on this, is what changes do we make for Saturday, and how does Bill start bringing in players like Adam Devine and just looking towards next season? Or do you think to get results, he needs to stick by some of the players that were in that team on Sunday?
Well, I think there's a few things. I'm not really going to stick to the Kilmarnock game because that's just really, a game you should win. And I think we've got to look at combinations that sort of I felt that we saw Saturday. Golson and Davies, long term, do you think that's going to work? Because Kyogo got so much time in the box, totally nobody near him. Now, I don't know. I just couldn't watch that game over again. I'm sorry, but normally I would do that and break everything down, but I just couldn't with this one. But from a memory, Kyogo had so much room in the box. Two goals virtually exactly the same. And it's not the only goal. I mean, somebody said, going back to Livingston, virtually the same. Corners, we're really bad with corners. We lose a lot of goals from corners, set pieces. Every throw-in from a near the penalty area is a nightmare. So we've got to look at that. So I probably think that we're going to, one of the players, I mean, Beale said three or four players we need to bring in. Well, I don't... I'm going to keep a goalkeeper out of that. I'm going to get away from your Kilmarnock question, Mason. I'm sorry, because I think this is just such a big point. I'm going to get away. I'm going to put the goalkeeper in as an extra, because I don't think the goalkeeper needs to be a part of one of these three or four players. They need to be outfield players. Goalkeeper's just a must. That's just got to happen, whether we bring in three, four, five players. And I think we really, I don't know what Suter's going to do. Timo is coming back for Saturday. Or he'll be fit anyway, whether he'll be back. He'll probably hurt his bum sitting on the bench and then be out injured again. I think we need a centre half, probably. Now that Sands is away, we've only got Young King in the background. And he might even still be injured, I'm not sure. So we're sitting there with Davies and Goldson and Young King, and that's it. That's all we've got. Because Suter we can't depend on. And then we go through Tillman. What are we going to do with Tillman is another thing. I mean, he's great playing against the lesser teams. He's only 20, I'll put it that way as well. Do we pay $5 million for Tillman in the summer? Because that's two or three games in a row that he's not turned up against Celtic as well. So we've got all these questions to ask. Because I really hope, and Beale's talking about three or four players. And I think if you're talking about Barisic going, you're talking about Morelos going. Of course, Davis is gone, probably. There's going to be an awful lot. I think we're going to need an awful lot more than three or four players. Where we're going to get them from, I don't know. I think there'll need to be a good few freebies in it. But I think we need more than three or four players. And depending on who's leaving, a lot more.
Well, yeah, that's another debate I think we'll have sort of again soon about Tillman, because it depends what kind of budget we've got, you know, this summer. $5-6 million on Tillman is a lot of money if we've only got 10, going by what we spent sort of this summer, 10, 12 million. That's half the budget on one player. And you are right to point that out, Davey, in the Old Firm game, because if we're paying a player $5 or $6 million to... We're not buying him, you know, to turn up games against Kilmarnock and Livingston. No disrespect. We're buying him to go and do it in the big games for us. And that's three games he's gone missing. But he's only 20. And I would like to see us, you know, invest in him. But again, you know, if it comes back to that question, what is our budget for the summer? But Chris, maybe the bigger question then for Saturday, I'm guessing Raskin's got to come in. Cantwell's got to come in. Who we go with Colak up front? He's hardly had really a run under Bill. Does Devine come in? What changes are you making?
The big thing to look at just now is the league's done, right? First is out of sight. We're 9 points behind Celtic, who are just not dropping points, and we're 22 points in front of Hearts, right? We're finishing second. That's what's happening, right? Now, I'm not saying play the under-21s and put the league as a buy. Obviously, we want to play for pride. We want to get momentum going into the Scottish Cup games. But now is the time where we can maybe afford, especially against Kilmarnock at Ibrox, to be looking to next season and going, right, who do I want here and who do I want now? For me, Hadji's a player for next season. Hadji still doesn't look right. I'd be keeping Hadji. He got the contract extension, so he's staying. Hadji's a kind of, just now, the last 5-10 minutes, the last 20 minutes, should I say, if we're 2 or 3 0 up, then maybe say after the split, we can maybe start looking at starting them then. But for me, Colak plays, because Colak at Ibrox, that's where he's good, right? He's only two goals away from home, both came against Hearts in the league, sorry. So Colak is your man for Ibrox, that's where he seems to do well. So if they put him back in the team, I'd obviously, Lindstrom, if he's not any fitter, I would definitely wouldn't play him. Raskin comes straight in the team, no questions asked. And it's all well and done, and I would love to see Devine play instead of Tavernier, but it's just not going to be, no, it's not going to happen, right? I'm not going to waste my time saying I want that to happen, because I just know it won't happen. I really even give Devine a lot of left back, give Barisic a break. And I think, I'm trying to think who else would come in. Right, I wouldn't have anywhere near the team. and it baffled me when he came on Sunday. I don't, I've seen, him produce, apart from his goal in the Scottish Cup final when we were already 1-0 up, I don't think I've ever seen him produce a moment of magic when we needed it, that merited him being on that park. But I suppose we had to bring somebody on. I think Ruth, I don't even know if he'll be back or not, but I mean, he's done his bit. He'll be out for a couple of weeks now. Lowry, I think he's still injured. We all want to see Lowry, but again, the nature of the injury he got near the start of the season, that might become a recurring thing. Can't really play him as well. It's the kind of games where they, especially at Ibrox, where they should be starting every week. And the goalkeeper thing, just playing McGregor till. If McCrory comes back, then we might look at bending him in, but at the moment it's just McGregor, because every time Gotland plays, he causes a goal.
Yeah, no, McGregor's got to stay in. I actually think he was the only decent performer at the weekend. But yeah, it's hard. What, except from Cantwell, Raskin, Colak, and maybe Adam Devine, you know, Maiden Devine. What other changes can we really make? Andrew, I'll bring you in on this as well, just to add to that. We've had a question from Curry about Tillman. If you were Tillman, would you want to play as a squad as it is? Well, I'll let you answer that one, Andrew.
I mean, if I'm Malik Tillman, I feel like I've got the world at my feet there, honestly. Maybe not after Sunday's result. Obviously, maybe in any other game against Celtic, we'll try and move on from that. He's in a position where he's on loan at a club as big as Rangers Football Club. On his day, the fans love him to bits. I mean, I think we all remember the support he got when he put the ball in the net against Partick Thistle. Whether or not that was the right decision, I think we'll move on from that before it gets controversial. I like him. I think it's a lot of money. It goes down to what is the budget. Because, as you say, that's 5-6. I don't know if it's 5-6-7-ish. The permanent fee. It depends. If it's 10 million, I think that's a lot of money, a lot of chunk of our budget. He has the talent. I think he will go far in the game. I'm firmly behind getting him involved. I think we should go and spend on him, because it's like you're paying to pay at the big table at poker, the big poker table, you're buying in. The buy-in's big, but the reward could be even bigger. Yeah, football is a gamble with every player, but I think there's too much there that says we're definitely not going to lose on him. I think he could be a real star in the world of football. Whether or not we can maybe speak to Bayern about lowering the fee, I think they would definitely have other clubs looking at him if we're not going to take him. But he's got him personally. I would be playing with confidence every week, because you're playing for Rangers, massive club. And then you're also on loan from Bayern Munich. There isn't many clubs better than that. So unless there is a real confidence issue with the player, I think he needs to be given top performances week in, week out.
Can I say, I think he's been very harsh in Tillman.
I've thought he's been a real impact.
It's his first year in professional football.
Yep.
It was Tillman's magic that got us through in Eindhoven. Do you know what I mean? He read that, set the goal up, thought about playing poor in old firm games. I thought he was decent at Ibrox. Do you know what I mean? There's only so much a player like that can be involved in a game, especially when we were targeting the wings, when he was kind of playing in the central. I think Tillman would be a great signing if we could get him.
I think Tillman's case, yeah, he's quite versatile in that he can sit wide, he can go through the middle. I think he has been got some bad rep off the start, but I think that also is that's what comes with the being on loan from Bayern Munich. You think the same with that kind of Aaron Ramsey. You know Aaron Ramsey, you thought you were going to get a superstar. Granted the injury, you thought, you know, on his day, you knew what you were going to get. Same with Tillman, you don't go through the Bayern Academy. I think he's played in the champ. He made a start in the Champions League, I think, or he made a sub appearance in the Champions League for Bayern Munich's first team. You kind of, the reputation of the club he's coming from, you kind of expect it. And I think that's the issue with the fan base, is the expectancy. He's still a young lad. He's younger than me. He has a lot of growing to do. But with that growing, you're talking every game you're going to earn on him. He's only going to get better. And it, I mean, you compare it to Raskin, you know, he's had the harder. He's came through it in Belgium. He's fought into the team. You know, I think that was a good signing from the. I don't want to give credit to Ross Wilson, but that's a good signing. And I think if he can get Tillman in, I'd be happy, but I think you're also going to be leaning to the, oh, I signed Tillman, so that gets me a bye for a while.
Go on, David, you wanted to come in there.
Yeah, the one thing I was wanting to add to it, and somebody said it in the comments as well. Celtic, I think they knew where the danger was, and they crunched Tillman about three tackles within the first 10 minutes. And I think that put him out of the game, plus the fact he wasn't getting much support. I also think that Kamara was told to take McGregor out of the game, which he did to a certain extent, because McGregor didn't do much. But the fact is that Celtic have got more than one player that can run a game. And I can't remember the guy's name. I can hardly remember our players' names, never mind the Celtic players' names. But the baldy Australian guy, he took over. And he ran the midfield instead of McGregor. And that's what they can do. They've got players that can do that, and we haven't. They knew if they could crunch Tillman out of the game, he had been injured. So they knew that they could take him out of the game right away, and that's what happened. He's 20-year-old. I'll go back to saying that. He's 20-year-old, and I think he needs to be given a chance. And he certainly looks great potential. And I'm not blaming him for that, but is his third game that he's not performed against Celtic, and that is a bit worrying.
We've got a team that don't perform against Celtic. You can name every single one of the players that's had more than a handful of games have not turned up against Celtic. Morelos for a start, Kent, Tavernier. I think the only person in that team that does turn up against Celtic is McGregor. The thing in Tillman, I'll add, is this season we'd be looking a hell of a lot worse if it wasn't for Tillman.
I disagree with Kent. I think Kent's, he's the last few years, he's not been, but Kent had great games against Celtic in the beginning.
He did, but he's also had some very, very poor games as well, mate. And I love Kent. And Kent is the one person that the Celtic fans I speak to say has put the fear in them. But he's had some shockers against them as well, which, unfortunately, that the vast majority of the team have. Do you know what I mean? You look back at the games last season where you beat off Celtic, Kent was non-existent.
I'd like to see Kent with Yilmaz at his left-back position, because I feel like in certain games when Kent gets a lot of stick, it's because he's trying, it's not coming off. And then sometimes we'll get the ball, we're moving it around the back, and Kent just goes, you know, I'm not trying, if he's only going to try, and then he goes and hides against somebody. Which, to be fair, I can understand, because he works his socks off. That's the one thing you can say about Ryan Kent, is he'll always try and make a run, he always try and shoot, give him the ball, he'll always try and get that yard, he always try and get 5 yards, give him an inch, he'll take a mile. I know he has some bad games against Celtic, he has some good games against Celtic as well, he scored at Ibrox. I think that was a peach. I think it's one of his best goals he scored, especially against them. I think he tries as hard as he can, and sometimes when it just isn't going our way and some other players don't take the initiative, he goes, well, if you're only going to do it, what's the point of me doing it? We're going to lose. I kind of carry a whole team. And sometimes it does feel like we win our ball back and it's like, we'll just get the ball to Kent and just let him do it.
Yeah, that comes from the recruitment, though, as well, Andrew. As I've said it for ages, we've not gone and got a proper right winger, and we've pinned our hopes on Sunday when Kent were doing it on Fashion Sakala, and I've said it for ages.
He's almost shut the door.
Yeah, he's not that type of player. He's not someone that we can rely on week in, week out. But just lastly on Tillman, Chris, I think you're right. I think there maybe a big section of the support has been very harsh on Tillman. And I'm going to defend him a little bit on Sunday with the two experienced players behind him not helping him at all. They didn't get him any combinations. They didn't get him on the ball in the right areas because they didn't win the midfield at all. But again, I'm sitting on the other side saying, if our budget is 12 million and looking, we've just spoke about it for the whole hour, what we need, do we go and spend that 5 or 6 million on one player? I think that is definitely one that, that's got to be debated.
Mate, it's one of them. You could sit for a podcast for an hour and see the pros of it, and you could sit for the podcast for an hour and see the cons of it. The thing about Tillman and Sunday, Tillman would be saying maybe he was about 75% fit. Celtic knew, smack him a couple of times, that goes down to about 50%. That's what I think we should be doing in the games like that. Do you know what I mean? And Davey made a fantastic point about McGregor, but where Kamara was on him and McGregor wasn't in the game as much. McGregor doesn't need to be in the game as much now. He's got two midfielders beside him with the ball guy and Moy and Hatate, where they'll do all the work. Do you know what I mean? Whereas we don't have that luxury just now. And that's why we need everybody to be at it. And I think we should be signing Tillman. It's a kind of a bit of quality that we need. And he can take the game by the scruff of the neck. Do you know what I mean? Now, you look at the Fishing game, his goal, right? Nothing's getting mentioned about the quality he showed scoring that. Everything's just about the carry on after it. Should he have scored it? And the whole Beal thing, right? But for him to get the ball there and get it in the net was fantastic, right? And that was a game we were struggling, and he produced a goal. He didn't know about the ball stop that as well. There's been a few games where he's won, is it Motherwell away? There was a game at Ibrox as well. I think it was Hearts at Ibrox, do you know what I mean?
This cross produced the winner against Aberdeen at Pittodrie.
Exactly. I don't want players coming in that are scoring the third and fourth goal in a 4-0 win. You want players that are scoring the second and a 2-1 win or the 1-0 win, do you know what I mean? And that's where I think we're lacking it, do you know what I mean? Whereas Arfield was vital for that. Arfield can come on and change again, but we all know that Arfield stays unnumbered now, just sadly, just due to his age, and it was always going to happen.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I say you make a really, you know, a lot of good points about Tillman. It's just sort of throwing it in that debate. But lads, that's us over an hour now. So I think it's a good time to wrap it up there. And, you know, I'll come around to you all with your predictions. I know we haven't touched a lot on Kilmarnock, but there's not a lot to be said. We're sick of losing the big games, but we need to go and get a win on Saturday. That's for sure. Davey T, thanks for tonight. What's your prediction for Saturday?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I was just getting started. I can't believe it's finishing already. So I was just going to mention Lowry. What the hell's happened to Lowry? But I wish they would come out and tell us what the problem is, because everybody's getting a bit annoyed about that he's not getting a chance. But thanks for having us. We'll need to shut down. So that's the thing about missing directly after the game. You kind of get that all these frustrations away. My prediction. I mean, I think it'll be 2-0 I'll go for. I'm going to stop these 5-0 predictions because they've not really been working. So I'm going for 2-0.
Yeah, nice one, Davey. The mad predictions are going to start coming down now, that's for sure. But that's the only thing. Another thing as well, without the midweek games, we're getting a double pod on one game. But I think we have got 3 games in a week now, so... that's all good. But cheers, Davey. Also, Chris, thanks for coming on, mate. What's your prediction for the weekend?
I expect a big reaction. I know it's too little too late now, but I remember last year when we could beat off Celtic, we had a great performance against Hearts at Ibrox the next game. I'm going for 4-0. Kolak back within the goals. And everything will be right as rain again, and Bill will be the Messiah.
No doubt, we are very bipolar.
And we'll be singing John Lundstrom's The Best on Earth again.
That one's done now. That one's finished. Andrew, thanks for tonight, mate. Solid debut. What's your prediction for the weekend?
Cheers for having me on. Again, did a wee bit of back-checking. Our last two home games against Kilmarnock, our last three, sorry, have been clean sheet victories, the Ibrox. Obviously, we had Kilmarnock away at Rugby Park, which was a bit of a... Oof, that was a mad dash. A 3-2 victory. I think we're going to get another clean sheet. I'd like to say 3-0, but I've got a feeling I don't think we'll get the third. I think we'll do what Rangers do. We'll do well in the first half, score 2 goals, and then we'll try and push, but we'll really not. Half time, we'll coast for the rest of the game, unfortunately. So I can only see it about 2-0.
A Rangers team under Bill don't perform in the first half, Andrew. So I'll take that all day long, mate. If we're performing in the first half and we manage to get a win, I'll take that in a minute. But thanks for coming on, and again, thanks for everyone for the comments tonight. I'm sorry, I missed quite a lot. There was a lot coming through, but we'll be on again Sunday night to review, hopefully, a win against Kilmarnock. I'm going to go for 2-0 as well, Andrew. I'm with you on that one. But as always, thanks for listening. We are the people.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.